Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in and deep dive into our subject today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors, plural. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. The customer service is, I can tell you a story of like, oh geez, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago where I couldn't get, and it was an older machine. It wasn't one of the newer machines, but I couldn't get it. And they literally sat on the phone with me for almost an hour trying to problem solve. Eventually we got it. Eventually we needed to get a couple pieces kind of sent, but their customer service, and at that point on, they had a customer for life. So go mention Coach Unplugged or Coach Collins or any of us, and they'll give you $400 off for you. I said it right, $400 off your next purchase. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, you're looking to expand, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for resources, teachhoops.com is the answer. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's better than Netflix because it comes with me. It comes with one-on-one calls. It comes with resources and things to make you a better basketball coach. It has everything that you're going to need in one spot. It has the roadmap set up for you so you know to kind of go tackle all the things that you need in order to solve your basketball questions. So go over and check it out. It also helps us pay the bills. So go over and check that out. Also, I said this on a couple other podcasts. We'd love if you go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, the Funnel Down Defense Podcast. Go over and check those out. I think you'll love those. We love sharing with the world, and leave a 5-star review. Let's head off to the podcast.
Right. Now, when you don't, and that max is down from where it should be, we are going to know why, because we've built that relationship with right. you, and you probably have came and talked to us and
you
said,
probably
hey,
bombed your econ test and you think you're going to fail out of college. Yeah, that kind of
yeah thing. You're worried about something going on in the dorms or a test or whatever right. it might be going on,
right?
You know, and that's the thing, like, you know, it was always fun to just go back to one thing is, you know, when these kids would come in. And just like your son and my son are going into college, you know, in right. the future years soon, you know, when they go, there's so many new things thrown at them, you right. know, in that yeah. first year.
Right.
You know, and I always had probably 8 to 10 new kids every year. So 8 to 10 new kids every year, I'm going through that experience with them.
What's the most common major at UD?
Major?
Like, what do they make? What are your girls major in? Ladies, they're not girls, they're ladies.
Yep. I would say education,
okay,
business, nursing were probably the three bigger ones for me, okay. anyways. And we would also have psychology and criminal justice. Those okay. were kind of like the probably five majors I dealt with the most.
Okay. And how many of them became coaches?
Well, I have one right now that's a current D2 assistant.
Okay.
And then I have two that are that have been high school head coaches, one that is right now, one that's decided to get out of it for right now, and then multiple ones that are JV assistants and even and head coaches in volleyball, stuff like that too.
Stuff like that. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun to,
How did you practice plan?
How did we practice
plan? Yeah, how do you as a coach practice plan? Like
obviously, you know, just like everybody, I think that you look at what it is that you feel like this team's going to be really good at.
Right.
We got to make sure that we're working on those things. Now, for me, I always did about a 30-minute session of just transition drills and games. So I was really big, and some of that stuff I got from Forrest Larson back in the day too. And I know you've had him on multiple times.
Forrest is great. Yeah.
He's one of the best. And see, when he was at, that's where Mount Scenario College is at, was in Ladysmith. So when he was doing all that stuff in Ladysmith with that, with his team and his son up there, I was at Mount Scenario.
Right.
And so, and he and Eddie had a great relationship with each other too. And so I was fortunate enough to be around him when he was just getting going.
Mount Scenario closed, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did close.
And what happened to it in the town?
Well, now they run a private boarding school there at that school. So there's kids that come in from all over the world that go to that school now. And so once in a while.
Do you know what it's called?
I can't remember what it's called, honestly, right now.
Drew's godfather was Dave Knight was the trainer there for a while, a year or two.
Oh, really?
He got out before it closed, but I think he saw the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah. I want to say it was in 99 or 2000, somewhere in that range is when it closed.
Yeah. That's funny. I always love asking this question. So if we could dive into one coaching moment, either a success or a failure that would be a takeaway for a listener, what would that be?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question.
Hey, thanks. I think so. I always like that. And it can be a success. It can be a failure. It doesn't matter. It's just something that a listener would go, oh, I could learn from something that they could learn from. That's kind of the thing I always like.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm probably, who knows if I'm going to answer it the way that you would like it to be answered.
No, there's no right or wrong. I'm not giving you a grade on this thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody has like, if I was answering this question, I would talk about a couple of my successes. And then I would definitely talk about a couple of my, I think of some stuff I did early in my career. Holy crud.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I have a job still. It's like, you know, I think I learned earlier, from those.
I mentioned earlier, you know, I surrounded myself with a lot of good assistant coaches over the years, you know, and having good help and people that you trust. You know, I think that's probably the biggest word I would have for a coach that's looking for assistant coaches, is that you got to have people that you truly can trust your own kids with or whatever.
Yes. I've had two staffs in 20 plus years, two staffs.
Yeah.
I trust them. None of them are going to backstab me. They're going to work hard for me. They trust me. They're my friends. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. That's the only reason I'm still coaching, to be honest with you. And I know Nate listens. I don't know the other two listen, but the only reason I'm still coaching is because of the staff I have. Yeah. Otherwise I'm done. I'd go fishing. I'd take up golf again.
Yeah. You know? And that to me, you know, I have, now during my time, the 13 years I had at UD, I have a assistant that was with me for 5 years. That's a D1 assistant at Youngstown. And I have another one that's a head coach at Grinnell College. Another one that's a associate head coach at Menlo College out in California. And another one that's an NAIA assistant in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And so, and then the current University of Dubuque head coach was with me for 3 years.
Okay.
So, for me as a coach, I always wanted to be that mentor for them to help them reach their goals as a coach. And so that was a role that I always really tried to play really hard, is that I got great joy in seeing them move on and become head coaches or assistant coaches at a higher level that they wanted to, you know, whatever goals and dreams that they had.
I think that's great. Now, didn't you have like a harrowing thing happen this year?
That was a couple years ago.
Okay, so explain to the people what happened. And this is crazy.
Yeah, we were in Nashville, Tennessee for a tournament. And we left there at 7 o'clock in the morning. And during our trip, our bus driver was saying how he wasn't feeling well. And he was getting kind of, each day he was getting a little crankier and crankier. He was getting sick. And we left at 7 o'clock in the morning, December 31st. Okay. So, and it was about now I forget who was playing, but the Badgers were playing in a bowl game and they won this big game. And we were all up till pretty late watching that game and just having fun.
Right.
In downtown Nashville. And we left at 7 o'clock in the morning. At about 8:30 in the morning, everybody's on the bus is sleeping. Now, most of the time, like 99% of the time, I sit kitty corner from the bus driver. Okay.
So the bus driver's there and you're not behind him. You're in the other spot.
I'm on the other spot.
That's where I am too. I always sit there. I know.
I always sit there too.
It's like a desk seat. Yeah.
The one time I sat behind him because that bus had outlets on that side of the bus.
Okay.
So I wanted to charge my phone up while I was sleeping. So I sat over there and my assistant at the time, Justin Smith, sat on that right side where I normally sit. And I literally had put my hat down over my face and just starting to fall asleep. And I heard, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I thought my assistant was talking to me. And as that's going on, I hear boom, 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 boom. And we're taking out each metal bar, the railing, the guardrail. We're taking those out one at a time. Our bus driver passed out with the bus going 70 miles an hour going down the highway. And luckily, in that stretch of the highway, we went to the left. And that's where the guardrail was. All the way to the right, there was no guardrail. And there was a little bit of a hill and trees. So I'm so thankful to this day that we went to the left.
Right.
And my assistant saw what was going on and he got up and I mean, we were taking out the guardrail. He went over there and grabbed the steering wheel and got his foot on the brake and he got the bus stopped. And I had two other assistants that were on the bus. The girls in the back of the bus, they thought we were running over deer. They didn't really know what was going on. But they knew something had happened, but we got the ambulance. We were there for about an hour. The ambulance came and actually the bus driver was in the hospital for 3 days.
What happened? Is he okay?
At first they thought he had defib or whatever.
Yeah.
AFib.
Yeah. AFib.
And, they thought that was the issue, but it wasn't. He was dehydrated and had the flu really bad.
Bad.
Yep.
And so what happened then? How'd you get home?
Well, it worked out perfect that they actually had another guy that was driving. It was only an hour away from us at the time that he was going to drive to like 8 hours away to, they have like shuttles with the cars. So
right.
They'll have two, but anytime they have a bus that drives 10 hours plus, they have to have two drivers.
Right.
And so they had a guy that just happened to be only an hour from us that was driving to another place somewhere else.
Okay.
That he came and checked out the bus and he got us to our next stop, which was 3 hours north of there. They had another bus driver already waiting for us at another spot.
Okay.
So he drove us that 3 hours, but it was fun because he got out, he drove the bus to the next stop where I took his car and followed behind because he just wanted to make sure that the bus was in working condition.
Right.
And it was just the whole left side was all scraped up and damaged, but it wasn't damaged to the point where they couldn't drive it.
Oh, that's scary.
So it was, yeah, it was really scary. It was very scary.
So, don't fall asleep in the bus. There's your life lesson. Holy cow. Yeah. I mean, how many times I've fallen asleep too. If you're on a bus long enough and you've done enough bus trips, we all have those. Like yes. We were in Minneapolis once and Wilson's one of our bus drivers. So if you're listening to this, Wilson, we love Wilson. Anyway, and literally I thought a gunshot went off and a piece of ice fell from the top of overhang. We were driving toward Minneapolis, shattered the windshield. Swear to God, it was wow. Like, oh my God, yeah.
And there was one ice storm we went through that I'm literally not sure how we made it. Like, we were like, there was no one else in the, other than us. We were coming back, I don't know, from St. Louis or something. And yeah, and it's scary.
Yeah. And yeah. I've always been, I've literally never fall asleep because I'm just too big of a guy to sit on a little butt on a little seat.
Right.
So I've never been able to get comfortable where I could actually fall asleep.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, the bus drivers are usually a little older. And so I tend to try to stay up and talk to them and talk right. whatever they want to talk about.
Right.
But this one time I thought, you know what, we've had him so many times and he's a really good driver. I felt really safe with him.
Right. And you were asleep too. I mean, you'd been up too. That's the funny part. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's one thing you've learned in the last year?
Not to take anything for granted. You know, I think we've all learned that right now with what we're going through with the pandemic and everything, just how to like maybe slow down. And that's what that's really been good for me these last, you know, 4 months or whatever, is just to slow down, enjoy what's going on around me, enjoy my family, enjoy my kids, you know, and all those things. And just look at what's really is important. I think,
I love that. You know? Do you, did you have any superstitions?
Any superstitions?
Are you superstitious?
A lot of times if we lost, like if we had a bad loss or something, I'm not wearing that shirt again for a while, you know, I just would not do that. And I might have certain socks that I would wear for certain games or certain, you know, certain kind of looks that I would have, you know, this last year, I kind of decided, coach, that I'm going to go, I went Bobby Huggins style. I started wearing, instead of wearing my suit and ties all the time, I started wearing more of the jacket, like, you know, Bobby Huggins wears a pullover.
Good. Yeah, I went the other way. I went the Tony Bennett way. I went suit jacket without a tie and a pocket square. So I went the other way.
And that's how I normally roll, is no, you know, without the tie. It was just a lot more comfortable.
I should wear, well, you would have loved to see me in middle, because we won a national tournament. Like, I tell the boys, we're the only team in Wisconsin boys basketball to win something like more than two games, because we won a three-team tournament in Florida against some legit teams.
Yeah.
And and I wore shorts. I wear polo and a short when I'm in Florida because it's too freaking. So
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, and I was wearing it like I kept wearing it till we lost. Like, I wore it all of January. Like, I'm wearing shorts and a polo because we're winning. I'm not going to change. It's like, and the boys are the one that told me. Like, when we came back from Florida, you know, it's like, well, coach, we just won. You got to keep wearing it. I go, okay, as long as we keep winning, I'm good. I'm okay. It's like,
I like that. Coach, I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick.
Okay.
So, as you already heard, the University of Dubuque and Loras College were very big rivals. Only, you know, half a mile apart from each other.
Which is crazy to me that they're a half mile apart. Like, like, you would think one would buy the other at some point. No.
Yeah, well, maybe that'll happen someday. I don't know.
You never know.
But with that said, I remember, you know, first day of school every year, we would have a meeting where I would kind of set the ground rules down and tell the team, you know, what to expect for this and when this is going to happen. Just, you know, just let all the new kids know what's going on.
Right.
And I remember in that meeting, I told them that all summer long, I've been thinking about Loras.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And I've been using this purple toothbrush. And I'm so tired of my purple toothbrush that I want to get rid of it. Okay. And so the girls kind of thought that was funny that I was talking about that. You know, you say some things that the kids get a charge out of. And never brought it up again. Never talked about my purple toothbrush, anything like that. And all of a sudden we're playing them at Loras, and it's a huge game. And like I said, probably 2,000 people there at the game. And in the pregame speech, I pulled out that purple toothbrush out of my pocket. and talk to them about how I wanted to get rid of this purple toothbrush, and I want, you know, and I don't want to see it anymore.
Right.
And so we end up, and then long story short, we end up winning this huge game on their court. And when the game was done, I took it out of my pocket, and the team was surrounding me going crazy, and I threw it into the crowd. Okay. Just sent it flying as far as I could throw it. And there was a guy up in the crowd that was taking pictures, and the guy that was taking the picture, literally the toothbrush, it hit him as it's coming at him. He's taking pictures. And, after that, to this day, a lot of those girls talk about the toothbrush.
Oh, I bet. I'm surprised they didn't have toothbrushes ready for you. That's what I would have done.
And so I had also told them that I would, you know, and this rarely ever happened. I would ever like make little bets with them or whatever you want to call it, little side things with them.
Right.
And I had told them, you know, I had told the girls how I wanted to try to lose some weight and get a little back in shape or whatever, and told them I would give up pizza if, you know, for a year, if we were to, you know, win this game.
Right.
And we win the game. That one of the players wrote up a contract, like her mom's a lawyer with 3M, and they wrote up a huge contract and had me sign it with all the girls signing it too. And I had that thing in a frame in my office. I went 4 months without eating pizza. And anyone that knows me knows that I eat pizza almost every single day. So that was 4 months was painful, and eventually the girls did tell me that I didn't have to do it anymore, so I went back to eating pizza.
They let you out of your contract. That's good.
Yeah,
I love that. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do rapid fire, which I ask you just a quick question, you give me a quick response. Okay. What's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play the game with?
Yeah, Wilson Solution.
Why?
Because one, it's the official ball for D3, but in being around that ball for the last 13 plus years, it's always really held up. When water gets on it, it absorbs it, and so the ball doesn't become slick like some basketballs do. So it has, you know, and it has a good grip to it, and it's a ball that you can actually clean, and it dries, and it gets its normal feel back. So it's always been a really good basketball for me.
I love that. Okay, one word to describe your ideal player.
Tough.
Okay. If you could go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be and why?
NBA Finals. I haven't been to one. I would love to go to one.
Okay. You went to the NCAAs last year, didn't you?
Jackson and I went to the Final Four last year. That was all. I've been to women's Final Fours, but never to the men's Final Four.
It was awesome. I took Drew. It was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great experience.
It was unbelievable.
And I grew up, I was born in Lubbock, Texas. So I've always loved Texas Tech, you know. And so I'd followed them, and I told Jackson, you know, during the year, it'd be so great if Texas Tech made it.
Right.
And they made it, so it was – And coach, I don't know if you really dug into their defense. I love all their defensive principles.
Oh, I do too. There's a lot of Tony. It was a defensive war for those two guys. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It really was. What's one thing you do to relax?
Sleep.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. If I need to relax, you know, or eat pizza, I guess.
Okay.
But honestly, just getting a little nap. You know, getting the chance just to
trust me.
Push the reset button.
There's two things I've done the entire lockdown. I've taken my dogs for walks twice a day, and I've taken a nap. 127 days, I've not missed my nap, but I also stay up to like 2 a.m. So, you know, I wake up at 7 and I go to bed at like, you know, 1 or 2. So I get a nap midday. It's like 45 minutes. Man, it just that's all I need. It's like a power nap. Oh, so good.
And you're good to go again. That's kind of good how to go.
Like I'm like it's we're taping this. It's almost it's 6 o'clock. I mean, I got a good 7. I mean, I'm just starting my day right now. Like this is just I'm just starting to get going. Because I had my nap
day, on game day. If I could just get in my office, shut the lights off for 20-30 minutes, that's all I needed.
You know, Coach K does that. You know, Coach K does that before every game. And you know why he does it? I read this in one of his books. He does it because he goes, I'm the freshest when I wake up in the morning. So he goes, I want to take a nap before the game because then I'm more alert and more fresh. And it's like,
yeah,
both coach, it's good enough for Coach K, man. It's good enough for me. Right. What's one coaching technique you consider important?
Patience.
Ooh, I love that. No one has said that before. I would agree with that. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
There's a lot of them. Okay. But if I'm going to go with the state of Wisconsin, one that on the women's side, girls' side, high school was Janelle McCarville. And okay. Janelle, if you know who she was the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft, played at Minnesota, went to the Final Four. She's just kind of starting to finish her career overseas right now. She played in the WNBA for won a championship with the Lynx in Minnesota. But watching her in high school and going into college she's one of the best players I've ever seen. When she was in high school coach, she was 6'2 and about 270, and she could grab the rim. Okay. She was super athletic for her size.
Right.
And I saw her do things I've never seen a female basketball player do. And when she went to Minnesota, she lost that 50 to 60 pounds her freshman year and has done a great job of playing for a long time and made a great career for herself.
That's awesome. Best player of all time.
Best player of all time? Yeah, well, obviously for me, and I don't know what it is for you, but the best player of all time is Michael Jordan.
Okay. I mean, Michael's gotten about 95% of the votes.
So obviously, I don't know. What does Drew say the best basketball player of all time is?
That's a good question. I've never asked them that. I tell them that Giannis is the best basketball player in the world right now. And he doesn't like that. I don't know. I'll ask him that. I mean, we've had the discussion. I think he's more leaning toward LeBron, but
Jackson and I have this debate almost nightly, Steve, and he is a big time LeBron fan.
And here's my argument. Here's my argument with Jackson. What I would say to him is a couple things. First of all, Michael's never lost a game seven. He has 6 rings. He probably would have had more if he'd have played longer and not taken a gap year.
Yeah.
So he took a gap year because his dad died and he wanted to play baseball. Otherwise, they would have won 7 in a row. I personally think a bigger argument to LeBron is like Bill Russell or somebody like that that's won 10. You got to win a multiple to be in the discussion. Whether it's fair or not, I get it.
Is a debate that we have every single
day. Oh, I get it. And Drew's argument is LeBron doesn't have as much talent and Michael never won with – that didn't have talent either. I would agree. He had a couple all-stars, but you know, he made Steve Kerr better. He made John Paxson better. Like he used them to help them win. You know, I'm not sure LeBron has done that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the best basketball player in the next 10 years lives in Wisconsin right now. Be honest with you,
I agree 100%.
I mean, if you're building a basketball player, you build Giannis. Like that's what I'm. Yeah, I think they could win it this year.
I hope they get that chance too.
I know. I hope they do too. Google Wesley's hair. Right, you should see his hair. He looks like he belongs in semi-pro. You should Google when we get done. Google.
He's grown it out.
Oh, it's out. It's like here. It's crazy. It's pretty funny. I'm gonna text him when we're done. One thing that helped you become a better coach.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like no joke. And, you know, and I don't always get this chance to say these things, but on your form, I will. But I have probably the best wife that there is, you know, and she's allowed me to chase a dream of being a college coach.
Right.
And allowed me to come home being cranky and upset and the highs and lows and all that stuff that come along with being a coach.
Right.
As you know, and so I'm fortunate I have someone that I get to share that with.
Yeah, I mean, any successful coach. I mean, there's always people. Yeah, and it goes back to like they're the assistants at home. Like,
yes.
And not that they're an assistant coach, but like just like your assistant coach supports you, your spouse supports you, and if you can't, you're not going to do it very long either. Trust me.
Our wives, I'm sure, just like yours, coach, they get to see things that maybe we don't see. You know, right. in the stands and the crowd all those things.
Oh yeah. I've been pretty good. I don't know if Maya will ever go to a memorial She went the last couple of years because of Drew, but yeah. I don't know if she'll ever go back, which is fine.
She's like, retired now.
I think she might have retired. Drew's retirement and her retirement might be because, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
That's a podcast on its own. Best game you have seen in person, other than my 2011 state championship game.
There you go. Yeah. Best game I've ever seen. There's been games that I've been a part of. There's been games I've watched. You know, even like the Final Four. You know, last year,
right.
Just watching those games was a lot of fun. One game that was really special that I got to go to, looking back on it, is I went to game six. I forget the year. I would be guessing what year it was, but it was game six of the Western Conference Finals of the Timberwolves and the Lakers. So that's in 2000, I think, 3-4.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they had Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah.
And I was in – my family knew a guy in Minnesota that owns like 60 Wendy's. And so okay. He had offered us for tickets to go. And so we got to sit right on court side. So I literally was like 2-3 feet from Shaq and Kobe throughout
the game. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was probably my best experience.
Oh, yeah. I think that's an easy one. What's your favorite quote?
Well, the John Wooden one. Do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. To me, that's important because I think as a coach too, or as a player, but as a coach, sometimes I think coaches get too caught up on what kids cannot do instead of looking at
here's how I've coached for a long time. I'm going to find out what they're good at and I'm going to magnify it, and what they're bad at, I'm going to try to hide.
Yes. And I've always said that, Coach, but it's amazing how, you know, I've had friends where a high school coach that I knew really well, that he had a 6'3", female basketball, you know, player, right?
Right.
Super long. Nobody could score by, you know, she was blocking every shot and getting every rebound.
Right.
But because she struggled at shooting an easy shot, he would get frustrated with her and put her on the bench. Well, I'm like, Coach, when she's in the game, no one's scoring on her. She's getting every rebound.
Right. Have the other four people shoot.
Don't worry about that one shot she's missing. You're only thinking of that one thing.
I know. I think that's a great tip for the young coaches too. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you're not quick, then you hide them and then maybe they're great at something else. Yeah. What's the best basketball coach of all time? I mean, this has been harder. Like, Michael Jordan's winning. Like, when I ask this question of all the coaches, Michael wins most of it. This one, I've heard like 10 different coaches. So don't feel bad if you.
Yeah. And I literally could say 10 different coaches.
I know you could.
And there's some days where you kind of lean like this way. And I do. And then I'm starting to really enjoy watching something like a Tony Bennett now, watching what he's doing and his philosophy and how calm he is and stuff like that. You know, as of today, I would say I really like Tony Bennett, just like his style, his demeanor.
I think here's what I think's going on with Tony. I think Tony's like a duck going across the water. I think because if you ever see a duck going across the water, it looks really calm and blah, but it's paddling underneath. I think inside him, all that stuff's going on.
Yes.
I think he shows he's hiding calm, but I know how competitive the Bennetts are. There's no way like maybe. But I think
sister, Kathy, was a great coach as well.
Yeah.
You know, she won a national championship at UW Oshkosh and was successful at Evansville and in Indiana. So it was fun watching all those guys.
All right, we'll go with Tony. I can live with that. What's one book you'd recommend?
The Energy Bus, you know, and I actually had, you know,
That's John Gordon, right?
John Gordon, yeah.
Yeah, John Gordon's great. He's came out with a new one. I think it's The Garden.
Yes.
The Garden. Yeah, he's really good. Yeah.
We did a thing, Coach, that I know you would probably really enjoy, but 2 years ago I decided, you know, each year I would do things different with selecting captains. So
we could do a whole podcast on captains, trust me.
Right, no, I know. And one year I just said, you know what, I'm going to have them apply for it. And then as they apply, then I'm going to have them, we're going to do a book reading, and we're going to talk about it. So that was a book that we decided to read and have kind of like a study, you know, with five of the players and two coaches. And we came every Wednesday and talked for, you know, about an hour,
right,
about what we, you know, the couple chapters that we would read and what, yep, was going on. And that was fun.
Yeah. I'm going to tell the coaches that are listening. So I haven't named captains in 10 years, 15 years. Yeah. I wait to see who walks to the center circle. Swear to God.
Yeah.
And it was funny this year because here's how it works. You ain't walking to that center circle if you're not, like, my point guard didn't walk to the center circle this year. Now, was he kind of one of the leaders? Probably, but he wasn't going to walk. He told like Drew and Logan, you know, Drew and Logan, he said, yep, you two need to go to the center circle, you know? So, but it's whoever walks there. And then eventually my center, like game five, walked to the center circle. Like there, if you got gumption enough to walk to the center circle, go right ahead. If you're the 15th guy and you want to be captain, go right ahead. So whoever's there at the end of the season is my captains, whatever. It's, yeah, like, it's one of those things that I think the parents think it's bigger than it is.
Yeah.
The leaders are the leaders, and the non-leaders are the non-leaders. Who cares who talks to the officials before the game? I don't want to talk to the officials.
And to share this with you real quick, Coach, same kind of thing. We're watching Jackson, you know, at Cuba City.
Right.
His whole starting five this whole year go to the jump circle. The starting,
and what
five
do they do during warm-ups then?
Well, and that was the thing. There'd be games where Jackson wouldn't go, and I was like, "Jackson, are you in trouble or something?" He's like, "No, I just want more shots.
Right.
I want to get ready." So he's like, "I don't really care what they're saying."
And now that they cut down the warm-ups to 15 minutes, it's like,
yeah,
really? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, don't get me started.
So now they're all getting, right, like 10, 11 minutes to warm up.
I know. All right. Well, thank you for being on, Coach. I really do appreciate it. I'll let you know when this goes live for sure. Okay.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Yep.
Hey everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right. Maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.